This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
Back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com, live here inside the MDN studios. MGO Blog Roundtable. We have Brian Cook from MGO Blog in studio. Brian, how are you?
Hello.
We have the wrong Ross brother in studio today. We're supposed to have Craig Ross's brother today.
Yeah, I can. He would come up for sure someday now that he's just teaching as opposed to quasi retired. But he's an MD, a master's in public health. And, you know, he knows a whole lot about infectious diseases and coronavirus. And
So I heard I should suck a lot of doorknobs. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
And, yeah, he also played football in college and knows a lot about football. And
all right. Yeah. Well, look, we wouldn't just exchange you. I mean, you know, we'd still have you here, too. But at this time, and not to make light of it, very, very serious times for us. In the world in general, not just the world of sports, obviously, but it being a sports show, we talk about the impact on sports that COVID-19 has had, is having, and will have. NBA has suspended its season. You got sports, across the spectrum, going to playing fan list contests, and that's what we're going to have with the Big Ten tournament.
Right.
A tournament with no fans in the building. I'm curious, A, do you think that goes far enough? B, do you think that we're going to have an NCAA tournament?
I do think it goes far enough. I mean, we're talking about there's been community transmission. There's going to be a peak at some point, and it's about lengthening that peak out.
Right.
So, you know, it's impractical to shut down the country entirely. You know, doing what you can to slow the spread of the virus is important, but we're also talking about, you know, a bunch of kids who have worked pretty much their entire lives for these men. So I feel like that's a compromise that people can live. Mm-hmm. Don't like sit on the bench when you have some sort of flu-like disease,
right.
Mr. Hoiberg.
Right.
But like, you know, if you seem healthy, I think you can progress, especially because apparently COVID doesn't have much effect on guys that age. So transmission and the spread is a problem, but you know, the situation where it's a balance, I think that's the wrong.
Yeah, where were Nebraska's protocols?
You know,
where was that? Where your head coach looks green? He's green. I mean, he's clearly ill. And you got him on the bench?
Well, this
for a game?
Next to him is just like got hand sanitizer. He's using the whole game, and they said that like they came up to him before, and it's like, how you feeling? He's like, not good. I'm like, okay, go away.
Right, exactly.
Well, like, couldn't the assistant coach do this particular game since A, they were losing anyway, and B, the season
Yeah, you have
is
like a 7-22 basketball.
Yeah,
game.
I think. How about when it was over and he got diagnosed? There were two major mistakes they also made after the fact. One is in their press release they said he had influenza A, but then they said parentheses, the common cold, which is not the case because they're two totally separate things.
Yeah.
But then they sent him back to the team in the team hotel. Why not keep him away from the team as the team needs to go back to Nebraska? Why not separate him? Because they sent him back to the team after he got diagnosed.
He's
got to
go somewhere, right?
But they can leave him in the hospital for a night. They can put him in a different place away from the team. They don't have to put him with the team. It's still a big city. There's still plenty of places to put him for a night or two.
Yeah, but then I don't know. He's got
I was talking to Hutch this morning, and she talked about the protocol they have in place. Here in this department, if you know, a student athlete or coach, if they suspect that they have an illness like this, that there's an immediate quarantine that they go into while they, you know, they get tested, and there's an immediate quarantine until the results happen. I'm looking at Nebraska, like, how in this atmosphere, in this environment, do you allow that?
I don't know.
To happen. So that should, I think, you know, kind of raise alarm bells for any other any other, you know, program that maybe didn't have any protocols in place, they absolutely should now. And I imagine that's something that the conference kind of contacted all the teams. Like, look, if you have anyone that's looking like they're feeling a little under the weather, kind of let us know. That's not even just about his team. How about the other squad? How about the refs?
Yeah, the post-game handshake for Nebraska, right? And it was like a wave. It's like,
The media here, they were like, wait, we were just in the press room with Fred Hoiberg last week. So, you know, a lot to be concerned about, but not panic. And that's kind of the thing, you know, finding that line where you aren't inciting panic, but you're encouraging people to act responsibly.
Well, you're seeing panic go to a Costco these days. I mean, it's panic there. I mean, the food is flying off the shelves.
I actually went to Trader Joe's yesterday. Yeah. The guy next to me was buying 6 bottles of wine and breadsticks.
There you go.
And I was like,
the
store was packed, and like the people like next to me just had like a meal and then some wine. And I was like, I don't get it. Like,
people are going to hunker down. Hunkering down with their wine and breadsticks, Brian. That's what's going on.
So some of the experts suggest, they're talking about this maybe leveling off for now and then peaking again in the fall. So what about football season when it rolls around?
Well, one thing we should definitely do is cancel the Ohio State game.
Ooh, maybe we can just play 11 games. Someone actually suggested that. Maybe, Brian, you were so prescient about this, because didn't you suggest we just play 11 games next year?
Well, I think we were talking about like judging the season on the first 11 games. Why even play the 12th one?
Exactly right.
It'll be a great sacrifice for everybody, but I think it's the right move.
Yes, levity is important at times like this, for sure.
There's some levity here.
Well, you know,
this is a serious situation, Sam, that requires drastic measures.
It isn't axiomatic that those games are going to happen.
No.
Right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not. Air flights. I mean,
Craig, you lived through the epidemic in 1918. Tell us about it.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I was very young when that happened. I don't recall much about the swine flu in 1918.
You did have half the football season canceled.
You got that one off.
Was the football season canceled in 1918?
Half of it. They rescheduled a couple games later. But
aren't you the guy who should know that?
Did they say a fifth of the population died during the Spanish flu?
No.
It wasn't a fifth of the population?
No, it was like 2%. Which is still a hell of a lot of people.
It was millions. It was millions.
Or the fifth of the population got it.
Yeah.
A fifth of the population got it, and then
that
many, as you listed, mentioned, died. So,
yeah.
Which was a lot of people.
It was millions.
Correct. So that would be bad.
Be very bad. Well,
so, I mean, the implications of this, I mean, I know we're not a political show. We can't talk politics, but the this is as much a political issue as it is a health issue. And the reality is that we're completely unprepared for this as a country. And the reality is you can't predict what's going to happen, except there's going to be a lot more cases. It's going to grow exponentially, as it has everywhere else in the world, as it did in Italy. And
I think, as Brian mentioned earlier, though, the focus has to be lengthening that peak, you know, kind of slowing the pace so we don't overwhelm resources. If we can do that, then at least you can avoid the avoidable deaths.
Yeah, I think there are two cities in China that are comparable. The place where it started, Wuhan, did...
Comparable to what?
Comparable cities where the virus hit. And in one place, Wuhan, the government acted slowly. They did almost nothing. And they had a major epidemic. In another city, they acted right away. And the difference between those two places is remarkable in terms of the spread of the disease. So
yes, and certainly right now, one of the major push here is to increase the testing capacity, because you gave the testing statistics earlier.
Yeah.
Where, what did you say in South Korea?
12,000 a day, and we haven't done 12,000 tests yet. So. There you go.
Well, they are picking it up finally. I read a story last night about drive-up testing in Minnesota that they're for COVID-19. So I think Colorado is either there or getting there as well. I imagine that'll show up as the testing capacity, as more tests get out, that the ease with which you can get a test will really improve. So and then we'll get a much better feel for how widespread this is. Just saying,
we
were saying last week, no one really knows. Like they're thinking, oh, well, it's out in Washington and then it's in Florida. Really, it's probably everywhere. We just haven't been able to test for it. So we shall see.
But yeah, and the head of the public health school here in Ann Arbor said that there are plenty of cases in Michigan, even though when you looked at the map, you saw zero. He goes, no, there's plenty of cases.
Yeah, that's what Sanjay Gupta had been saying. And that's the guy. That's the guy to listen to.
Guy, yeah.
Look, if you're bogged down and wanting to, you know, have your influence or your opinion shaped or influenced by, you know, a political talk, you think it's just a political talking head trying to move you in a different direction, just lean on your Michigan allegiance. Sanjay Gupta is a Michigan guy. You should at least be able to trust him, right? That there's not a political tilt or bend to what he has to say. One of the smartest guys out there when you talk about a topic like this, and he has been all over, the whole, hey, slowing the pace, spread is inevitable, but we can control how fast it spreads. Mm-hmm. So if we act, he said, this is a window of time where we need to be acting, and you see leagues, college basketball now, kind of acting in the fashion that you need to act to slow things down. So let's try to bring it back to the games themselves. So, of course, Nebraska out. They get taken care of. They get handled. Michigan plays today against Rutgers. What do you guys see happening in that game today?
Well, we've beaten Rutgers twice. I don't think we've played particularly well against them either time. I mean, they're a little bit of a difficult team to look good against because they are a physical team, and they will get after you on defense, but they can't shoot it at all. I mean, in our two games, I think they're 9 of 42. That sticks in my head. And so they're not going to shoot the three ball in all likelihood with any action.
No, and they topped out at 42% from two. They were 36 in one game, 42 in the other game.
Yeah.
So this is a game where they're going to struggle to get to a point per possession unless the haunted trident from Atlantis comes back to
which seems to be
bite Michigan again,
biting us.
But maybe it's not haunted at neutral sites. That's what I'm going for. And this is
the most neutral
of all sites.
Right. I mean, no one can complain in the NCAA tournament this year that you won't be playing at a neutral site at the very least.
Even Gonzaga will be in Spokane and there'll be no one there.
Yeah, I guess, as Brian pointed out in the break, however, there's one team that hasn't.
Penn State?
No.
Who is it?
Wisconsin.
Why?
Because their one fan equals 30 fans.
Oh, yeah. Dimitri
from the irritation point of view.
I think someone else pointed that out.
I did.
Oh, it was you. Okay, yeah. So you have the irritation factor.
I just assumed Brian was the one that was one of the many that pointed out that now the NCAA men's basketball tournament will feel like a Fort Wayne hockey regional.
Do you know where the Midwest hockey regional is this year?
Is it Fort Wayne?
It's in Allentown, Pennsylvania,
which is
a suburb of Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's Midwest.
Yeah.
Well, it's like an hour outside of Philadelphia.
I mean, but now it doesn't matter, does it? They have the same attendance.
Why?
Because the
who bids?
Nobody bids because the attendance is so bad, so you can't make money on it. But Allentown, Pennsylvania is so desperate for attention, they're like, let's do this.
And now they are going to have a building about as empty as it would have been anyway.
Right.
Isn't the NCAA just blowing it by not having home sites through the, I mean, especially in hockey? Because first
wouldn't
of,
be relevant this year, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, right.
Everybody hates the NCAA hockey tournament.
Right. And they all hate it for good reason. And so why not hold it in at least through, say, the semifinals?
That's what women's basketball does. That's what softball does. That's what pretty much every sport does except for, like, the big two.
Right. And
how long did it take the women to finally get away from its home sites in the first two rounds? They finally have regional sites, but it hasn't been that long where they've had regional sites. It used to be home sites for those, too.
Yeah,
it would make sense to go back for that for hockey.
Yeah, it absolutely would, especially because, you know, we're talking about a single elimination hockey tournament. If you actually got one of those top four seeds or whatever, you know, the home advantage would be something to actually shoot for. Right. It would be a little bit less random because the hockey tournament is too random right now. But that's good news for Michigan because if they beat Ohio State, they're probably in it. And then you got a 940 goaltender, anything can happen.
Do we want to talk a bit about hockey before we go back to basketball? Or
we just did.
Yeah. I mean, hockey has really been interesting because they did look pretty dead.
Oh, yeah.
After the Notre Dame series.
Yeah,
and then they've come back and won, and they beat Michigan State twice this weekend, 3-0. Strauss Mann up to .939 in save percentage, and the only goalie better in the country is a guy at Minnesota State who has, I think, about 400 fewer saves on the season. And I checked, you know, and I was saying Strauss Mann is probably the MVP of the Big Ten, or should be. And I think maybe if Michigan can win a game or two more or make it into the NCAA, I think he has a chance for the Hobie Baker because I don't see any great skaters this year.
He does not have a chance for the Hobie Baker.
I think he should.
If Kyle Connor couldn't win the Hobie Baker, I don't think he can.
So what do they have to do? How much work do they have to do as far as NCAA tournaments?
14th in the pairwise.
So they're currently in a spot where if they finish the season there, they're probably going to make the tournament.
Yeah, 14th.
They're like right on the bubble, but right on the right side of the cut line.
And really hoping teams below them don't win a conference tournament.
Yeah, so Michigan has a one-game semifinal against Ohio State on Sunday, and that's almost a play-in game.
They can
make it if they lose, if they get the right result combination of results elsewhere, but they can only really afford one team below them to pass them, and that's unlikely. If they win that game and then they lose the final against whoever, it's pretty likely that they're in. So this is essentially a play-in game for Michigan.
Yeah, the amazing thing is how unlucky they've been this year, and you can prove it by looking at goal differential, and they are 98 goals scored, 72 given up. Run Bill James's Pythagorean theorem on that, and they should be winning around they should be 23-13. As opposed to 18-14-4. And you can do that on other teams. I did it on a few other teams, and it nails it on most every team what their record would be given the goal differential. And Michigan is the outlier. And when you have that sort of an outlier, it implies it's just been lucky.
And you guys said the struggles in the first half of the season when we talked about it last week. Why did things turn so dramatically in the second half of the season? And you guys said it was basically random.
Well, yeah, part of it is right.
Part of it.
I mean, they are playing better, especially Hayhurst and Beecher.
They got their lines, I think, organized in a better way.
Like, Minnesota had a similar surge in the second half because they're also a very young team. And people point to Wisconsin as like, oh, you can't win with kids. And I'm like, dude, they gave up 9 goals on 32 shots to Ohio State. They played 3 different goalies.
Yeah, their goaltending is terrible.
Their goaltending is awful. And if they had Strauss Mann, it'd be a totally different situation for them because the guys that are like high-end draft prospects for them are scoring a bunch of goals, which is good. Michigan has been a very disciplined team, and they just needed a little bit of puck luck, which they've gotten. So, you know, their shooting percentage is much higher in the second half of the season, and part of that is the fact that they're playing better, and part of that is the fact that, you know, sometimes they're flinging stuff at the net and it's going in, and it wasn't going in at all in the first half of the season. So.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, and I think also they had some injuries in the first half, and what are you telling me? Stop.
We got to get to it.
They're making faces at me.
That means, Rick, I don't know these radio things.
All right, we're out of here.
We got to get to a break. We'll come back on the other side, pick up the conversation, pick up the Big Ten tournament conversation as well on the basketball side. As Minnesota and Indiana won last night, Michigan the first game of the day against Rutgers coming up. And then, you know, if they win that one, it'll be the Wisconsin Badgers, Demetri Crisis Bomb. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. The Big Ten Tournament will go on without fans, but it will go on. Michigan set to play Rutgers today at noon, as you guys pointed out. Here on the MLB Blog Roundtable, Brian Cook and Craig Ross. Rutgers can't really shoot. They're long, athletic. They get into you defensively. Mm-hmm. But we've seen in both games that they are not a team that is very adept when it comes to perimeter shooting. So hopefully that does not change today. And meanwhile, if Michigan can start to, you know, hopefully get Isaiah Livers back on track, that would be a good sign. Fortunately, though, they haven't needed Isaiah Livers in the prior two matchups to beat Rutgers, as he missed both. And so now, here in the third and likely final matchup between these two, you know, hopefully he can round into form, and even if he doesn't, they can win and proceed to take on Wisconsin, which was the team that I looked at. They said, what team don't you want to play early on or play in that next round between them, Michigan State, Illinois? I picked Wisconsin. That was the team I didn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, three of the last four games, Michigan's been shredded by five-out offenses. So it's been a chore. You know, Michigan doesn't really seem to have the personnel to match up with pick-and-pop centers. Rutgers emphatically does not have one. Their starting center shoots 35% from the free throw line. So, you know, it's a situation where I think, you know, Michigan and their defensive style is a very bad matchup for Rutgers. So if Michigan can just shoot reasonably well, I'm not even talking like actually well, like they beat Rutgers beat Maryland, and Maryland shot something like 17% from three. Michigan losing to Rutgers, that's going to be the situation. It's like they shoot one of their worst percentages from the season from three. They brick some free throws. It's going to be an issue of, like, can Michigan keep the shot volume pretty comparable? And if they do, they win the game. So the problem is, like, in the first game, they had 26 offensive rebounds. In the second game, they had 14, right? So if you rebound the basketball on your defensive end, you win this game.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I don't see Rutgers shooting it from outside or beating us that way. Michigan just have to come in and shoot dreadfully. Incidentally, both Rutgers games were without Isaiah Livers. Now, Livers hasn't been a ball of fire exactly. He was pretty bad in the Maryland game, but you want Livers on the floor, and Michigan was able to handle those games without Livers. So this one is on Michigan. I mean, I think if they come out, they shoot it even average-ish. They should win the game.
Well, the bounce that they did get in their favor, you know, everyone that I've spoken to here on the show, they was like, oh man, bottom half of the bracket is tougher. And I look, it is. I mean, didn't want to face Wisconsin, but you know, you got all the other teams, so Ohio State and Michigan State. You got those teams on the bottom half of the.
I don't know about that.
Maryland on the bottom half of the bracket.
I mean, I'd rather face Michigan State than pretty much anyone else with a bye, I think, just because Tillman is not a 3-point threat, and Michigan had a really good plan for attacking Michigan State in the second matchup. So it feels like Michigan's limitations would be less exposed against that. Mm-hmm. And you have to deal with the fact that Xavier Tillman is a defensive genius who will definitely be picked in the first round of this year's NBA draft.
You think so?
The mock drafts I've seen mostly.
I'm just trying to get him out of East Lansing.
I've seen him in 28 to 30 range. Okay. The lowest, I see him as early in the second round.
But if you're in the 28 to 30 range and you want a guy who can come off the bench and be a positive impact player on your team as a role guy for like a long period of time, I can't think of a better guy than Xavier Tillman.
And he's got two kids. And I mean, Tillman has two kids. He can probably use the money.
Yeah, the problem is both those kids are locked up in Tom Izzo's basement along with his grandmother and every other grandmother. Like, he didn't even let Jaren Jackson's grandma out. He's like, you left and grandma's got to stay.
Okay.
It's a bummer, man.
You know, meanwhile, I kind of like the prospect, if we can beat Rutgers, of playing Wisconsin.
You got Eli Brooks this time.
Yeah, and
that will help a lot. That's true.
And I forgot about that.
The
last game just felt a little bit flukish to me. I mean, I know that we haven't played well against five outs. On the other hand, there's weird statistical anomaly going on. Michigan is first in the Big Ten in defending the three. We've given up fewer threes per shot than anybody. Well, the opponents have the fewest number of points from three than any other team in the Big Ten against Michigan. Yet we're ninth in the conference in defense. Brian thinks, from our off-air conversation, that relates to post defense, that we're right at the bottom in defending posts.
At the bottom in defending posts on synergy, we don't force any turnovers.
And those two things are key. Yet the teams we seem to have trouble with are the five-out teams.
Well, we had some trouble with Iowa earlier in the season.
Yeah, with Garza, we had, you know, who...
I forgot about the fact that Michigan didn't have Eli Brooks in that game, yeah. And they went with the big lineup,
which turned out to be a disaster, even though it was interesting.
Well, you have Trice and Davison like drive into the bucket, which they don't do very much. Like they're 15% of their shots are at the rim, basically, and they're not very good there. So having Eli's going to stay in front of either one of those guys.
I mean, so you think Michigan beats?
Well, you know, that's a good point by Craig, and I'm more optimistic now. I just don't want to see Micah Potter go 4 of 6 from three again, which is something that he probably could do.
It's to some extent, it's been our season. Micah Potter went 4 of 6 from three. Okay, he's not a bad shooter. You know, you wouldn't ordinarily expect him to be a 4 of 6 guy.
Yeah, he's second in the Big Ten, last check.
Well, since he got eligible, Wisconsin is like the 10th best team in the country.
Okay. Yeah, he's a good player, and I'm not sure how Iowa State let him get away. I'm not sure what was going on down there. But and on the other hand, you had against Maryland this week, you had their two guys shoot 6 of 8. And
the two guys who were shooting like 28%.
28%.
They talked about how it went off, right?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't made anything all year, and now he's making shots, as was Wiggins, I think, and he was only at 30%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're all sports fans, maybe especially me, but everyone, just have a hard time confronting randomness. And in the Maryland game, they took a lot of bad shots.
Garbage shots?
Garbage shots, thank you. A lot of garbage shots that went in. And if you look, it's such an interesting game from a box score point of view.
How many layups did they have? Some of Maryland?
They had a few. I mean, they were able to run the pick and roll fairly effectively because Sticks was able to pull some guys out. It's tougher to...
But it's such an interesting game. Both teams had 30 shots from two.
And 20 from
three. You hardly ever see that, you know. And we're 6 of 20, and they're 8 of 20. They have two more makes from three and two more makes from two. And they had to have had 8 garbage shots that went in. I mean, just garbage. And
I mean, garbage does go down sometimes.
Sometimes.
Right?
But I'm saying, again, did it go down when they played Rutgers? No. And so it's just there's randomness in all sports, and sometimes they just throw up
Cowan
their hands.
In particular. Yeah. I mean, they were talking on the broadcast about how DJJ was getting his butt handed to him by Cowan. I'm like, dude, he's hitting like off the dribble, turnaround, fadeaway threes
that hit the back rim. You know, if a ball that hits the back rim shouldn't go in. I mean, that's a bad shot.
Drive to the bucket Cowan got was like a spin move that DJJ. Was in front of, got contact on. He finished through that contact. A really nice play by Cowan.
It was.
But, like, you know, I think one of the stories of the second half of the season is that DDJ seems like he could be a very good defender next year. Like,
He's improved.
Yeah.
And
he's definitely, and you see him do a great job of fighting through screens.
Yeah.
That, to me, is more noticeable with him almost than any of the other guys. I'm not saying that other guys can't do it, but. I mean, the effort to fight through a screen. Mm-hmm. Now, he makes a mistake every now and then and goes underneath
one. Yeah.
But I like that from him. I think that's a great point.
I think it is, too. And, you know, the thing is with him that I really like, and I don't know if he can run a team or not yet, but he doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, he's been pretty judicious with the ball.
His shot selection has been a little less judicious.
Yeah, that may be true. But maybe if next year he is the starting point guard,
I think next year it's going to be a platoon between the two guys.
Between Eli and...
And neither of them is going to be relied upon to be, like, the guy. Because you'll have Franz. Hopefully you'll have Josh Christopher.
Hopefully you'll
have you'll be able to spread out.
And you'll have, a good post player in Hunter Dickinson.
All right, we need to get to a break.
I hope.
We're back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. MGo Blog Roundtable with us, Brian Cook, Craig Rosso. Guys, who do you have winning the Big Ten tournament?
Iowa.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
You've been so smart all month.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, you're always smart, but Iowa?
I don't know. I mean, asking me to predict a tournament where there's nobody in the crowd.
That's a fair point.
12 teams headed to the, 11 teams headed to the NCAA tournament. It's an impossible task, so I guessed.
Yeah, that Iowa-Illinois game is going to be I think that's going to be
it's a really interesting and fun game. Impossible to know because really the conference is so even. Could Michigan win it? Sure. They start to make a few shots, they could win it. Could Illinois win it? Yep, they're the most athletic team in the conference. Could Michigan State win it? Sure. You know, they could win it. Iowa could win it. I mean, there's
Indiana's not winning.
Indiana sucks. Indiana can't win it.
that's what I'll tell you. Indiana's not winning.
Indiana's not
Indiana
winning
make the tournament.
Yes, they're in.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're definitely. They're like what 20-13 or something now. They're in.
They're terrible.
Archie Miller is going to say, yeah, that's what you get, Joe Lunardi.
That was the craziest thing that's happened this past month. And I know that the Fabric Society is fraying, but why is someone calling out a bracketologist?
Yeah, I mean, really incredible. Like, Joe Lunardi's in charge of the NCAA. I mean, dude, Joe Lunardi is just a guy, you know, he's just a talking head. Like
he's up there with Fran and Izzo for, like, the most unhinged guy in the league.
I'd be feeling a whole lot of pressure down there.
You know, are those the three most unhinged coaches around?
Well, Chris Collins did get down on his knees and bark like a dog.
That's true.
What?
Yeah, it was last year.
It was against Michigan. It was like 3 years ago. You remember? He got down on his knees like there was a 2-point game, and he's like, he's on his knees and he's like begging his team to play defense. It was like a famous picture of this.
Okay.
By the way, did anybody see Beeline last night on the Big Ten Network?
I did. I didn't have the volume on because I habitually.
What did he say?
I didn't really see much of him. I flipped. My brother called me from Hawaii and said, "Hey, Beeline's on TV. How come you're not on TV?" And I said, "Well, I think that's pretty obvious." but he thought he was doing okay. But I didn't see. I just saw very briefly of his commentary. I mean, I suspect he'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's the first hit for Chris Collins on Google Images. You don't remember that?
I do not remember that.
That was against Michigan.
I don't think he's as unhinged as Archie Miller, Izzo, or McCaffrey.
Look at his face. Look at his face. He's out of his gourd.
I don't think he's as bad as those other three.
No, it's probably true. But what does that say?
His coach was Coach K, so... You know, probably has a little of that in him. It will be interesting. Speaking of coaches, it will be interesting to see if Western Michigan makes a serious play for Saadi Washington. To me, a serious play is not the $385,000 they were paying for Steve Hawkins. If they come at him with that, I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed at Michigan.
Well, Tony Paul tweeted that he was option 1, A, B, and C.
I saw that. And then he also tweeted that they could afford him because they were paying Steve Hawkins $385,000 and they're paying Saadi $330,000. I mean, you could give Saadi a bump and he could be comfortable here and stay and wait for another job. Now, this is alma mater.
Yeah.
But it's still, you're still building.
I mean, I'm assuming there's anyone at basketball games next year. I mean, I don't know what the finances of anything are at the moment. But
you're going to have to pay more than what you pay Steve Hawkins to get him, I think.
Yeah, you're going to have to, you know, and if he's making, Saadi's making $330,000 right now, he's not taking the Western job for $385,000 is my guess. But at $500,000, maybe, if the conditions are right, if they say
$500,000 gets it done, I think.
Yeah, and if you give him enough rope and say
resources,
that would probably do it. And I think he'll be a good head coach. I think Beeline thought so.
Well, you know who's going to be back on the market after this year?
Yuck.
Yes. Am I that predictable?
Well, and the other thing to look out for, Boston College's coach is on the. Is on a serious hot seat as well. So Juwan could maybe possibly have two coaches.
You think Phil Martelli would be a candidate for that job?
Howard Eisley.
Oh, Howard Eisley. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, well, that's his alma mater.
Yeah, I mean, and my guess is that the truth is that Phil Martelli would like to be a head coach again.
And he told someone that pretty explicitly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it could be a little bit of turn.
So he could have some, and my guess is, it isn't clear to me at this point that John Beeline doesn't want to be a head coach again. I mean, those are guys that I have to break.
John Beeline should.
You got it.
I finally understood that.
John Beeline should do something he's never done in his career, and that's be an assistant coach for Michigan.
Nah, what he should do is coach a...
I know. I'm getting around from Lincoln. You can always play the music, Ira.
Let's play the music.
Yeah, just play the music. We got to get out of here.
played better